Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the story of Simeon here, and especially Simeon's song, where he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. So far the text. You know, this is one of those passages that I remember really being moved by when I was a small child, because when the way I read this, it said to me that I could get out of church early. Okay, so in other words, if my father begins the sermon and I'm listening to his sermon, and from what I read here, you know, as long as my eyes have beheld the salvation, which will be to all people, like he says something about Jesus, then God's servant, me, can depart in peace. And I pictured doing this, saying, Mom, I've seen the salvation of the Lord, and I'm leaving. And I'd go out to the aisle, and she would be in shock of my, you know, theological acumen, and I'd go out saying, peace, right? It's the 70s, so that's how I saw it. Now, it never actually happened. I pointed this out to my father, and he goes, depart in peace doesn't mean leaving church early during the sermon. Departing in peace means dying. And I go, oh, didn't think of that. Now, I didn't understand it that way. Simeon certainly did. He understood exactly what he was saying. And this story of Simeon is so important because it's a universal story. This is a human being who has received a promise from the Holy Spirit himself. And we see the result of that promise being kept. And what's kind of ironic about it and powerful about it is the backdrop of this story of Simeon announcing the new covenant has been kept, right? The promise has been kept, is Mary and Joseph coming up to fulfill commandments of the old covenant. So it's been 40 days since Jesus was born. On the 40th day, they came up there to offer two offerings. One was for ritual purification of Mary. Every woman had to do that. But the second one, that's one that they were only going to do once in their lifetime. So as soon as you had a firstborn son, or your first son, then that child belonged to the Lord. Not just a human child, but if it was a male sheep, a male goat, anything. Now, belonging to the Lord, you know, if it's a goat or a sheep, it's simple enough, right? You give the goat or sheep to the temple and they sacrifice it, but, you know, people frown on sacrificing your firstborn son, and so they had another way of doing it. In Exodus, God tells Moses this: you'll come to the tabernacle, in this case the temple, and you make an offering. The child belongs to God, but basically what you're doing is renting the child back. And you can't make returns, okay? You rent the child back, and now the child, you're taking care of it, and yet you always have to remember this child is holy to God, this child belongs to God. And that's what they're doing, and as they're doing this, Simeon comes running in, grabs the child, and says these beautiful words. He's saying that the new covenant, the promise, has come true. Now, this isn't the first time in the Christmas story that someone said that. It started with the angels, right? The angels said to the shepherds in the field the same thing, that God is keeping his promise to his people. And then, secondly, the shepherds spread the word in Bethlehem. What's different about this is the angel did it at night, in a field, and the shepherds did it in a very small town called Bethlehem. What Simeon does here is incredibly public. It's not at night, it's during the day, it's not in the little town of Bethlehem, it's in the capital city of Jerusalem, and it's being done in the most important part of Jerusalem, the temple, the focal point of all religious worship life. This is where this is taking place, this public announcement that God is finally bringing the consolation of his nation, Israel. And it sure took a long time, didn't it? I mean, this promise was made to Abraham, Moses, David. I mean, you can always go all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's a long time for people to wait. And for Simeon, he'd received a promise from the Holy Spirit, and he had an awfully long time to wait, too. And if you're anything like me, waiting is not the easiest thing in the world. waiting for something good to happen, waiting for something bad to not happen, waiting for a better life or a better job or better health. Waiting for these things is a hard thing to do. And there are a couple of pitfalls that come from waiting. One is, especially if we're waiting something really great, we tend to focus on that thing to the point where we just put our entire lives on hold. Our entire life in the present doesn't matter, only that thing in the future matters. That's the problem. And the second is, if we wait too long, we just get sick of waiting and give up. Now, Simeon avoided both of these pitfalls. On this day, he saw the consolation of Israel. He saw the realization of the promise made to him. But it's important for us to understand that for Simeon, that promise was a living one. That promise was something that was with him every day up to that point. And it gave traction to his life. My big problem about the wintertime in Oregon, I was going to say it's cloudy all the time, but now the sun comes out, you know, so I can't say that. But it's, you know, it's not the snow. That doesn't happen a lot. It's kind of slushy. It's hard to drive in, but, you know, it's not a big deal. Or the rain, I'm used to that. It's when it gets icy. And I'm not talking about like when the ice, like sleet, because when that comes down and gets on the road and on the sidewalks, it's kind of bumpy, you know, and you kind of walk on it, crunches and stuff like that. I'm talking about where you get some snow during the day and it warms up and it kind of starts melting, and then the sun goes down and it gets to about 15 degrees and everything just whoo. And you go outside and you look and the road and the sidewalk is like a hockey rink. It's shiny. It's beautiful. But not so much if you have to walk a dog. See, he's got four paws, and on those paws are claws that can dig into the ice, and he has a low center of gravity. Me, I have 2 feet. Last time I checked, no claws, and I have a high center of gravity. So I really have to be careful. So what I'll do, like last year, this is a perfect example, I would walk out into my porch where there's no covered porch, there's no ice. And I give him enough leash, you know, so he's not going to pull me, and I get down to the top of that ice, right? And I just set my legs, bend my knees, and I slide down to the sidewalk. And then I shimmy sidle over to grass in the front yard. And that's basically what I do. I just kind of shimmy across the ice to grass, front yard to front yard to front yard. It's horrible. It's frustrating. And I always end up falling anyway. Now, this last fall, Nancy says, what do you want for Christmas? And I was like, damn, this does not happen very often. Usually it's like, yeah, I have nothing. I have everything I need. No, I don't have everything I need. I finally realized there's one thing I wanted. And I said, yes, I want this. And I got it. It's these things, these rubber things that attach over your shoes. And there are ice cleats on the bottom of them, right? Steel cleats. I'm actually looking forward to the next ice storm. It's going to be great because with these cleats, I got traction, right? I can dig into the ice and I can walk forward and move forward, probably not as, you know, as I would before, but at least it's going to be a lot more safe. I have traction. That's what God's promise gave to Simeon. It gave him traction. Traction to move forward in life. That promise was a living one because it was with him every day, and that promise was a foundation every day. Because he didn't just understand the promise, but he understood the author of the promise was someone who keeps his promises. What I think is very important about a text like this is that we not, and we tend to do this a lot, take the story of Simeon and turning it into an object lesson. We focus on, well, look, see, he's devout and he's righteous. And we should be devout and righteous, and then we'll be blessed too. Amen. Okay? No, that's... Granted, he's devout and righteous. We should all shoot for that. But that's not really the point of what's going on here. And it's the case so many times. We've talked about in Bible classes, like the persistent widow. Okay, she's persistent, and so we should be persistent in prayer. Amen. You know, we should be persistent in prayer. Not the point. The point is, why was she persistent? Because she understood the character of the judge and acted accordingly. Or the faithful servants who wait for the master to come back from the wedding banquet. Okay, so we should be faithful and wait. Amen. No, I mean, we should. That's not the main point. It's why were they waiting for him? Because they knew the master was such a great guy that he was going to come back to them from the banquet. And he does with part of the banquet with him for them. And so it is with Simeon. Day after day after day, he climbed that hill. He's probably like 90. I mean, I haven't been to Jerusalem, but I've seen that's a pretty steep hill up to Temple Mount. And day after day, he climbed those steep steps, and day after day, he walked into the temple. And he did that with only a promise. And day after day, he was blessed. He was blessed because this promise, he didn't set his entire life aside and only look to that day, because every day he realized, well, the promise hasn't been kept today, but yet I live in the promise because of the one who gave it. Well, Christmas is over. I don't know if that's good news for you or bad news. You know, all the wrapping paper has been thrown away, hopefully, and, you know, toys played with, and if your tree's like mine, it's stopped taking water, it's going to start drying up pretty soon, and maybe you're sick of Christmas cookies or Christmas carols, I don't know. But all things come to an end, and yet with the end of Christmas comes a new beginning. In Christmas, we have a promise. That's what we celebrate. The promise that God did bring salvation to the world through his son Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross for our sin and rose from the dead, that he lives in our life today. We have that promise. It is realized. And yet, like Simeon, we've been given a promise of something yet to come. The promise that the Savior is coming back, that he's going to take us home to be with him. Where his Father is, there we shall be, and we'll truly live as his children. Now, that promise is not realized, but we know the promise, and we know the person who has made the promise, and therefore that promise every day of our lives gives us meaning and hope, and it gives us traction to move forward in life. To not only rejoice in the promise in which we live, but to give thanks to the God who made it. In Jesus' name, amen.